Excision number 11212, reel 9.
Colonel R.B. Humphreys, Reel 9. How long did you stay in Bombay, Colonel?
Until about middle of May, and then it came that my company was due to go to upcountry station, Dealali, which you stayed for 3 months. Companies took it in turn, and there was a commandant of the Dealali was this senior company commander, Major Heslop. But he was there permanently with his wife, and his company was commanded in, if it was down in Bombay, by his second in command.
What was the significance of the move to Dealali?
To do your musketry, fire on the rangers, very fine rangers. Also, you were still in aid of the civil power, a place called Nazik, which is nearby, about 7 miles away, and it was the Mint. And the head of the Mint was a very nice man called Major Fitzgerald Lombard. No, I think just Fitzgerald. And you had to be there because it was again a place where there were, you know, Hindu temples and Muslim mosques by each other. And it was quite a dense place, although for India, of course, nothing like Bombay, which stretched a long way out. You went out 10 miles before you got out of the outskirts of Bombay. All the mills. The mills were on the way out to Dealali. One thing I meant to say in India, and that is Queen Victoria making them go to church on Sundays, decreed that Thursday would be a holiday for her soldiers abroad. So we had a lovely holiday on Thursday in which officers organized things, and there was a swimming pool called Breach Candy, and one went along, and one swam with one's soldiers, and one had picnic lunch, took a picnic lunch there, and basked in the sun, and it was generally a nice day for the soldiers. Some perhaps went on some other trip around Bombay or something. It wasn't all swimming. And some just didn't go. They wanted to charpai bash or run or play football or something.
So Dealali, you were
now Dealali was a lovely little upcountry station, pretty little bungalows. Got to be very careful because of krites, which is a deadly snake which could kill you in 5 minutes. So you wore boots most of the time, of course, you wouldn't tackle a boot. And also at night you always got into your mess Wellingtons very quickly. And you just had a mess kit, and there were a mess for about five officers, just the company officers, and there were one or two attached, like a doctor. He was married, actually, Major Pete. And he lived next to Dad Heslop, in very big quarters. And then there was a Major Davis, whose daughter was the only sort of beautiful girl up there. Everybody was running after. In turn, Fanny Evans, my company commander, or acting company commander, who was unmarried, had her in tow. She was rather older than Denise Davis. And then there was all the company officers in the company I was in, which is Idle Bartlett, Joy Lister Todd, and myself. And we had a quarter, nice quarters, rope tricks. People came along, Indians. And then the second in command, Tim Beard, who was a very fine polo player, lent me his pony. it when I wanted to. And he, of course, was down in Bombay, second in command. And so I was able to ride. There I did a lot of going into the jungle, or just outside my, within a mile, few yards of the bungalow, there were hedges with lovely butterflies, enormous amount of butterflying I did there. And playing golf. I never played golf before. I learnt on a funny little nine-hole course going up to Pantaloona Hill with a monument on the top of it. And I played with old Eustace Ardern, who was up there with his wife. He was B Company commander, actually. And he stayed on up to overlap with us for a bit. And Idle and one or two others. We might have had a foursome or twosome. And we really led a life of a reasonable leisure, standing by for Natick at a moment's notice to go out to Natick if there was trouble. And also doing our, every morning we were on the range, musketry, and firing our courses and things. That went on for nearly 3 months.
Were the duties of a young officer much the same as they'd been in England? Were your duties much the same as they had been in England?
Oh, no, different because of this aid to the civil power. I mean, it's different training altogether. You had to train your soldiers to be absolutely firm on the ground. And you had rehearsals with some soldier doing the magistrate and all that kind of thing. And the scribe, and as I say, lovely weather. It was getting hot, beginning to get really hot. Nice little club, dear little club in the evening. You could go to have a drink after golf or thing, and you woke up very early in the morning again. Lunch on the breakfast on the veranda, with a nice garden in front of the mess, tiny little mess across the field from my quarters. And the other quarters. And it was a, well, much more life of leisure. It was very high up in the Ghauts, you know. Very high up indeed.
What were the men's quarters like?
Nice. They were old-fashioned, but they were very cool. And they had these people, punkawallas, men, Indians with on the toe. And they were good quarters, the men. They had good quarters. They had
the food. What was the quality of the food like?
Not bad. Not bad at all. In fact, the food throughout the battalion was very good.
And was there much in the way of particular illnesses that you were subject to?
Oh yes, dysentery, and you could get mimic dysentery, which is a nasty one. Luckily, I only got ordinary dysentery. But I was in hospital for a few days, and I read, it had only just come out, Passage to India, while I was in hospital. And dysentery, as you know, is just terrible diarrhea. And then there were sort of things. You would suddenly get somebody with some nasty disease, like, I mean, it was a jump from the blue plague, but I don't think there wasn't one when I was there. And then, of course, the other thing you've got to be careful of is rabies, rabid dogs. If anybody got bitten or scarred by a dog, you always went and had the jabs, which is very unpleasant, because it might have been rabid. And there'd been an awful case 3 years before when a sergeant's wife got a puppy down in Bombay, Sergeant Wheeler, and his wife got one, and she was licked, and nobody knew that dog was rabid, and she died of rabies, having had the injections, and it's a terrible death. You want water, and you can't drink, and she died a ghastly death, and he never got over it, poor man. In fact, he didn't lose his stripes, but he's useless sergeant for the rest of his service. And there'd been a party in the sergeant's mess the night before, and they'd all had christened ring or something. So the whole of the sergeant's mess had to be inoculated, which is in the tummy.
Were there terrible. Any kind of...
Terribly nasty, man.
Were there any kind of recurring acts of ill-discipline from the soldiers at all?
Well, the odd one, I mean, you know, people went down to the bazaar and got in with an Indian woman, and they spent the night out, and they got VDE, a lot of them got VDE, I mean, that was very commonplace. And you couldn't stop them, because you couldn't really have a... There was a little brothel, but it wasn't very well controlled, because the Indian women were really peasants, women walking about in the country, and they'd suddenly perhaps get a rush of blood to the head, and in the daytime go and lie behind a tree and pull their trousers down and rape them. But, you know, you weren't to know that. There was a soldier, but there you are. You got that, and you got the odd man who wanted to get back to Bombay, and he perhaps tried to get the truck down or something like that. He wanted the flesh pots. He didn't like it up there. But by and large, the discipline was extremely good.
What was the army's attitude towards VD?
Oh, just the thing that happened. You took a chance and you had your woman. And then later, they got very conscious, because we got organised brothels down in Bombay, and organised brothels in Khartoum, and organised brothels in China, and they really did get conscious of it then. And you had to go round, as the APM in China had to, once a week with the provisad and see the madame who ran the brothel and see everything was all right. And of course one never went into any of the rooms because things were in action, which you had to. And the MOs were there. I mean, they ran the things. The regimental MOs. But VD was there, the disease, really. And then there was the train came in every so often, and people went down to meet that, stores and things from... And there wasn't a quartermaster. There was a colour sergeant did the quartermaster of the company. And there was quite a lot of entertaining. The MO and his wife used to have people out. And then Major Davis and his wife and the beautiful Denise. And they... Not so much dinner parties, but up at the club, little parties. And Dad has up at his wife, and there a little boy was born when he was up there. And then there was Eustace Ardern and his wife. And then there were one or two civilians, like the district commissioner nearby, and this nice man, Major Fitzgerald, he was to come in charge of the mint, very high civil servant in the Indian Civil, and because it was the mint where they minted the coinage. And of course in peacetime it was a minute little station, and then you had the Indian company of the Indian regiment. There was always an Indian regiment and a British regiment in Bombay at Calaba, and the Indian regiment was the 3rd Punjabs. Then you had a Indian company come out and some white officers with one company of Indians. What their barracks was a bit farther away, and they were used also for defence of the civil power, although they were Indians, because their discipline was such.
What was the relationship like between the British and the Indian soldier? Did they meet at
we
all?
We met a lot, the officers, and the soldiers didn't meet an awful lot because they were quite far away. They played games against each other, and of course Punjabi regiment, as this was a mixed one. They had a Hindu platoon, very likely, and a Muslim platoon, and a Rajput platoon, or something like that. It was a good regiment, the Punjabs, and the CO was was down in Bombay, he used to come up occasionally, and they had a second in command, he used to visit them, and then Guy's company commander, and we used to play another thing, bicycle polo. There was no ordinary polo, so we had bicycles, and we got bicycle polo going, and their CO, their company commander, is a very fine bicycle polo. He organized the bicycle polo, and there we were. So the 3 months went, and down we went. And by that time, it was boiling in Bombay. Oh, awful. Up there it was nice, although the monsoon hadn't come. Then suddenly, in the middle of July, the famous day came when it clouded over, and there was some thunder and that sort of thing. And crash bang. The rain came and it poured and it poured and it poured for about 4 days, as one said before. So relieved, one took one's shirt off, stood in one's, near one's bungalow just to get wet. And one's bat and one's bearer, of course, been a... He'd been with the regiment 19 years and got an Indian Infantry Medal because he'd been passed on from officer to officer. Worshipped British officer on the ground he worked on, and he had a buffalo up in his place in Punjab. He was a farmer Nali, he was a Muslim, and so faithful, didn't drink or anything. And as I say, if you were ill, he sat outside your bungalow, squatted. I mean, if I felt off colour, and didn't go to work, and he dressed you every morning, and he slept in a little thing behind the bungalow, and he made you tea out of a bit of... He lit things almost from the sun, you know. And everything was very primitive.
Were you involved in any great ceremonial occasions whilst in India, Colonel?
Yes, a lot. I was selected with C Company to be a street liner for the departure of the arrival of one viceroy-elect and the departure of the old viceroy, Lord Willingdon. And George Lister Todd was one of the subalterns, and another one was Idle Bartlett. And we stood on the, for 5 hours, got there very early in the morning, opposite the Gateway of India, near the, with our backs to the, Hotel, Taj Hotel, Taj Mahal Hotel, and boiling sun, holding the colours, mentally at ease, but holding them and standing, and all the soldiers were standing at ease, and the officers, other officers standing at ease with their swords at ease. And then Adrian Keith of another company, they formed the Guard of Honour, the Gateway of India, 100 men, with the Queen's colour, her King's colour as it was then, King's colour.
Was this in Bombay?
Yes.
And now, about what time, what date would this be?
This would be July, I think. July. And duty came the day, and we practiced a lot. Even went down and practiced on the thing, but of course we didn't take as long as that. One had to be really rather fit to do these long waits, not sort of twitch, and it was very hot, monsoon and not break. And duty arrived, the Marquis of Linlithgow and his wife, in the beautiful carriage of Lord Brabourne, with the outriders and all the penelope of a viceregal governor. Ship, the British Raj at its best. And he came through the arch ceremoniously, walking up from the launch, being met by the by the governor and everybody else, and Lord Chief Justice, Admiral, General, etc., 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 introduced rather like royalty. Then he got into his carriage with his wife. He drove past, and as he passed, we lowered the colours. And away, back up to Government House, to Lady Brabourne. And in 2 days later, dear old Willington, Lord Willington, the Earl he wasn't a Marquess, and he became Governor of Bombay, Governor of Canada, I think. Earl of Willington and his wife, who came down, and exactly the same thing did in reverse. We dripped the colour, and by that time he'd hand over, so he was the viceroy until he left the shores of India, but the other one was still viceroy-elect. When Lord Willington walked into the launch, he became viceroy, Lord Linlithgow. And away they went, out to their ship, escorted by admirals, and all the same sort of people bade them farewell, and they saw the last shores of India from up in Delhi, Viceregal Lodge. That was one thing. Then that was a big ceremonial thing. Then the other thing was at Bombay, to make money for, they put on a staged at two, which they had staged at Calcutta the year before, and it was about the 100th years of the formation of the Bombay European Light Infantry, which was a John Company, and it was acted, and I happened to be very tall, again carrying the mock colour of the regiment. The pioneer sergeant was fat. He was the parson. I'd all dressed up as a parson. The RSM was tall and thin. He was the general, dressed up as a general. Idle Bartlett was an officer of the guard. He was senior to me, joined the year before. And all dressed up like me, except no colour, belts and things. And then CSM Williams was a colonel of the battalion. And we put it on 4 nights in the stadium at Bombay, and it was a great success. A lot of Indians came, and a lot of money was made. And a fellow called Sumner, he was the compere. He was the PRI captain, died only the other day. He was a full colonel after the war service. Didn't have a very exciting war because he was in West Africa most of the time. I never saw a shot fired in anger. But he's a nice man, and everybody liked Jack Sumner. And that was that. And then came, it went on, and the rains came. And then come halfway through December, I was granted leave to go up and stay at Dehradun with my cousin until after Christmas. And so I went up. On the way, I saw the Taj Mahal, stayed with the Welsh Regiment a night. A friend of mine from Sandhurst was there, and we went and saw it moonlight and daytime and everything, every other time. And then I saw the tombs of Fatehpur Sikri, which is very near, on the way. Stayed with the Royal Fusiliers in Delhi. So I had one night doing Fatehpur Sikri and Taj. Went down by train. And then got back, and I went up to Dera. And we got stores together, because he'd drawn a block, but he couldn't use it because he was second in command and was training on. So he was going to come out the last week. So I went out into the jungle on my own, having stayed a week with Kitten and the wife and him. And then he went out on his maneuvers, and I went out the next day with all my stores and everything for a fortnight before Christmas in the jungle on my own, except for the last 2 days when they came out all for meal and the little children and all. And it was a dark bungalow, miles from anywhere, and I had my batman, a shikari, and some bodies which I gave him some money to buy and tie up for getting a tiger. I never saw a tiger on the way out, never saw one there, but a lot of pug marks and leopard marks, and sat up, but never saw one. But I saw a lot of game and got charged by an elephant when my cousin, we were shooting, and he shot a sambar, which is a big deer, and the rebound across the nullah, the elephants were, you would hear them pulling, and of course the echo made them come charging down, but they couldn't get over the nullah, so they just sat and swung their trunks at us. We ran, we walked very fast away.
So after you leave, you'd return to the...
And then after Christmas, there was no more block, of course, it was over. I went, I had another fortnight, I expect, playing polo and not playing, but knocking about on his ponies, and about a week, where I went up to Missouri, higher up in the Himalayas, and we had very fine dinner night, wives... night in the mess on Christmas Eve, and all the subalterns. There weren't so many in Gurkha Regiment. Nice people. And we met a lot of the Beds and Hearts, which was a British regiment, and a lot of the forestry people, because the big forestry thing was there. And the head of the forest had three daughters called the Flowers of the Forest. They were pretty hideous. He was always trying to get them married off, or his wife was. And he was a very pompous little man, Sir Gerald Trevor. He was the second head of the whole forests of India, but he was head of the experimental centre. And, of course, then they had the Royal Military College, Sandhurst there. So a lot of Indian cadets and Indian army about. It was the headquarters of the Gurkhas and the 9th Gurkhas. Second Gurkhas thought they were the sort of guards of the Gurkhas. They called themselves Gurkhas. God's Own, they were called. And they had some very fine polo plumes, so did the 9th. And the British regiment didn't have a very good polo team because it was an infantry regiment, no cavalry there. And, Deira was a very gay place. That hill station, you see, lovely climate, especially at that time of the year. And packing up, and we went off to Khartoum.
And this date would be what?
This date would be the end of January.
Of 1937.